Dear brothers and sisters, blamelessness refers to a state of purity and perfection likened to a clean heart vessel filled with the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus' blamelessness covered meekness and humility, where He did not quarrel nor cry out. And we also talked about the Lord's instruction where no one heard His voice in the streets. We looked at the spiritual meanings of a battered reed and a smoldering wick and the Lord leading justice to victory. It means that the Holy Spirit is sent to those who accept the Lord, protects them, and helps them attain complete salvation until the day of salvation. Today, we'll continue where we left off on a battered reed He will not break off and a smoldering wick He will not put out until He leads justice to victory. The God of love sends the Holy Spirit as a gift to those who accept the Lord as Savior and have salvation to help them live in the truth. Sometimes, sinning excessively and not receiving the spirit of repentance quenches the Holy Spirit previously given. But sinning a few times doesn't equate to the quenching of the Holy Spirit. When you commit the unforgivable sins written in the Bible, continuously sin after repenting, ignore the Holy Spirit, and deceive God, and the Holy Spirit has no choice but to leave. If the Holy Spirit is not completely quenched and an ember remains, Father God does not give up to the end. God holds on and gives countless opportunities until you repent, revive, and achieve complete salvation. He gives you enlightenment when you listen to the Word. He helps you feel the Lord's love through praise and prayer. These are all opportunities from God. Trials are also a form of God's love to help you repent and turn back. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6 says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." He gives you grace by which you can reflect on yourself, find things to repent of, and turn back through diseases, hardships, and afflictions of the heart. If you don't grab onto the opportunities given, the Holy Spirit will be put out. But God doesn't give up halfway, saying, "There's no chance for you." Once the ember no longer remains, there's no chance. But if an ember remains, God gives you chance to the end and gives you grace. This is the meaning of until He leads justice to victory. The phrase also means Jesus will continue to knock on the heart of those who don't believe in the Lord, live in sin, and oppose God so that they can open the door to their hearts. Until when will He knock? Until a person accepts Jesus Christ, receives the Holy Spirit, becomes reborn as a child of God, and his name gets written in the book of life. As people who receive the salvation through the Lord's love, we must also not give up or get worn out in our efforts to spread the gospel to many people. We need to pray and help the poor to open their hearts, and we need to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit to say words of wisdom so that people can grab our hands at the most opportune time. Especially among to your family members, you have to endure and you have to apply the Lord's love in your relationship with them, especially your spouse. Even when you share the gospel, even when you testify to God's power, if she does not accept it, you may also, in people with others, people don't recklessly deal. They just express refusal. They don't speak harsh words. It's not, but in our relationship with your family members, to your spouse, when you share the gospel, you may say this and that. When you testify to God's power, and when you are ignored, she may say, is there true? Are you stupid? That's why when we share the gospel, we may feel frustrated. Even while we tell the truth, your spouse, your husband or wives say that it is not true and say even harsh words or evil words, then how would you feel? You may feel hurt. When this repeats, you may want to give up. You shouldn't give up. What should we do? We have to remember the blamelessness of the Lord. He didn't break off the battered reed or put out a smoldering wick and until He leads justice to victory. The same way, even though your spouse or husband and wife does not accept the Lord, you have to be, of course, in sharing the gospel, you have to be wise. Words, saying words, giving out the aroma of Christ is more important than saying words. That's why you have to change yourself first, and you have to equip yourself with the instruction of the Lord. Then it'll be easier for you to make another person's door to our heart opened when you share the gospel. Some of you may feel frustrated. Some of you or husbands or family members have come to church, but they left the church, and they say evil words. Then what should we do? Does this mean we have to give up? Even so, there are many cases where husbands or wives just follow their spouse. It's not that they really experience the works of the Holy Spirit. That's why you have to be apologetic. You have to, because you didn't set a good example to your spouse, you have to. It also be cases that your spouse have received the Holy Spirit, but they left the church and befriend the world. Even so, you should not give up as your family, as their family members, and you have to. You may feel resentful. You may have ill feelings as you see your family members acting that way, especially towards your spouse. You feel resentful. You have to fix that feeling. You have to remove that feeling and repent. Even though your spouse says evil things, you have to pray with a. But if you feel resentment, how could you emanate the aroma of Christ? How could you shine the light? That's why your spouse cannot be changed. The first thing you have to do is repent first, and then there's no reason for your family members not to be saved. You have to become the light and become the man of spirit. Then the time will surely come for their salvation. That's why you should not give up. We need to imitate the Lord's patient love and lead many souls to the right path as the fragrance of Christ. Next, let's delve in deeper into the Lord who did not break a battered reed nor put out a smoldering wick. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman at a well in the city of Samaria called Sychar. Regardless of the Jews having no dealings with the Samaritans, Jesus gave life to the troubled and distressed woman. This woman had five husbands, but couldn't find true peace. This woman had had five husbands, but couldn't find true rest and rest to the extent that she thought the man she was currently living with was not her husband. Even though no one had told him, Jesus already knew of the woman's past and present. She was betrayed and abandoned by many men and went through many ups and downs, and Jesus knew that the woman had never been happy. Realistically, the woman's life must have been very difficult and miserable. Other people, even nowadays, having five husbands is rare. And people would hide it. And people would not give a... And this is 2,000 years ago, which means her life was so miserable and tough in her relationship with others. And her individual life was also... She didn't have any source of comfort or had anyone to rely on. Other people may have judged, gossiped about, and pointed fingers at her. Jesus, however, had mercy on the woman whose heart had been badly hurt and torn apart by the sinful world and touched her broken heart. Jesus poured the water of eternal life, which doesn't make one thirsty forever, into the woman whose heart was always hungry and thirsty for love, as she was not able to find a single person in the world to trust and rely on. Through this, God guided her to the path of blessing by which she believed and accepted the Savior, the spiritual bridegroom, who would shower her with unchanging true love forever. Jesus did the same to Mary Magdalene. As recorded in the Bible, people judged Mary as a sinner, but the Lord did not reject or keep away from her. He only extended great grace to her. Mary was healed through the Lord's love and given new life. She became a woman who followed Jesus to his death. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was eating in the house of a tax collector named Matthew. During that time, Israel was under the Roman oppression and tax collectors were greatly despised by the people. This meant that even tax collectors had their share of resentment, and they'd been hurt a lot. As they'd been hurt, they were overcome by resentment. So there would have been times where tax collectors retaliated with more force and anger. But Jesus didn't distance himself from them due to their sinful actions. He understood their torn and broken hearts, which had led to such actions, and desired to heal them. The same in the past and the present. You tend to get gossiped about and labeled the same as the people you keep company with. But the Lord didn't care. Jesus didn't look at a person's exterior, but at the heart, and try to bring one more soul to salvation. He wanted to save the broken souls, the tortured and trampled, and were not afraid of other people's criticism. Jesus only did good works. This is love that does not break the bitter reed. Our Lord knows people's hearts so well and shows mercy instead of condemnation. Psalm chapter 51 verse 5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Everyone is born with his original sin, living in a world governed by the enemy devil and Satan. The Lord knew people would encounter many hardships and have their hearts broken and torn apart and heavily stained with sins and evil. Jesus understood that out of a heart that is broken and stained with sins come rough behaviors and deceitful words and actions, and had mercy on them. Most people judge, condemn, dislike, and distance themselves from a bad person based on what is seen on the outside. Based on that, you have to look at yourself right now. Are you not behaving that way? Or what about your past? You have to realize yourself. When someone said, you have to think about why he is saying that to you. Even though another person says harsh word, you have to think about why. You have to put yourself in another person's shoes As you make efforts this way, it will be easier for you to embrace that person. I will explain again this at the end of this sermon. In our relationship with your brothers and sisters, you may find those souls who are broken and torn apart, and they want to seek people's recognition. They want to seek attention. They may say evil words or harsh words, and they say bad words. When you hear those words, you shouldn't think, she is saying evil things. Even though you encounter such a person, you have to try to figure out that person. Then it will be easier for you to open the door to her heart, and it will be easier for you to... Of course, it's wrong to say bad words or judging words. If you find such a person, you have to admonish them and try to help them repent. But if you don't demonstrate such positive love, if you just shut the door to your heart, this is big condemnation. You've already condemned that person to be an evil person. That's why you reject that person and don't want to talk with her. That's why, even though you are not disputing with that person, you are still committing great evil. This is piling up sin before God. As you try to talk with that person may not open the door to her heart. You have to figure out her heart. This is the love of our Lord. He didn't, even when we, you, that doesn't mean you have to join the evil people with, we have to say evil words with them as well. You have to demonstrate such positive love in trying to change them. But rather than judging and condemning them, Jesus reached out to the brokenhearted with love to heal them. Our shepherd used an analogy to explain the Lord's goodness and love that can embrace the evil-hearted. He compared to the way a parent would treat a child who's gone astray. He said that there's two major responses to a child who only causes trouble and heartache. One type of parent would feel upset and hate the child, saying, "Do you know how I've suffered to raise you well? Why are you going astray?" If parents think so, they have hatred towards their child. Because they have hatred, they think and say that way. Of course, their child is going astray. The parent may feel frustrated and feels regrettable. But some parents may give an excuse, "I'm not hating him, I'm just feeling heartbroken." You should not cover up your evil like that. You should not cover up your words that are mixed with ill feelings because you have hatred. Because parents have hatred, they are saying that way to their... But parents with goodness are different. They would be remorseful for not being more loving, not spending more time with the child, and not understanding his heart. They'd blame themselves for the child going astray and ask for forgiveness. Which of the two responses would you hit to? Which of these responses would make the child who's gone astray repent and turn back? It would be the latter. Even though it wasn't Jesus' fault that people became sinners, he still viewed the souls tormented and hurt by sins with infinite compassion and mercy. Matthew chapter 9 verse 10 tells us that it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus' intent was not to condemn them, but to save them anyhow. So Jesus tried to harbor even those despised and mistreated with His love. You also have to embrace others and harbor others. Even though they are hurt and broken, you should not have such a thought, why is he acting that way? But we have to put ourselves in their position and try to understand them. That way, we can change them. Nowadays, there are people who commit evil. Evil is bad. But when we reach out and try to help him, there are people who also commit suicide. There are people who try to help these people not committing help. But in this world, even such good deeds are not accepted. When a person keeps company with people who are criticized merely out of a good intention, he gets criticism as well. In Jesus' time, evil people slandered Jesus for his acts of goodness and love, saying, "A gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Jesus, who knew the hearts of those who slandered him, said in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 12, and 13, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus didn't retaliate nor openly argue. He simply tried to enlighten them with truth. Despite receiving slander, Jesus didn't hesitate to approach sinners. He healed their hearts and souls and guided them to eternal life. Some people only look at sinners with pity and hesitate to lead them to the path of salvation and blessing. It's like saying to someone stuck in a swamp, "Come on quickly if you don't want to die," without stretching out your hand to him. If you fell into a swamp where there's no quicksand, it is difficult to get up by yourself. You could get out only if someone were to grab you from outside. And sometimes, if the person on the outside doesn't let go of your hand, he may also fall into the swamp and die. But if you really love someone, you will do whatever it takes to save him. Are we someone who would only talk without helping? Are we someone who would only talk without helping for fear that we would get dirty mud on our hands if we grab a person stuck in a swamp? Naturally, you might call for help if you don't have the ability to save him on your own. However, it is important to check if you didn't turn a blind eye to the dying souls because you didn't want trouble. Despite being holy and without any sin, Jesus was not afraid of being slandered as a friend to sinners. Instead, he led them to salvation and eternal life. Jesus drove away demons from those suffering with them and made the sick and weak strong. He didn't dispute with the evil, but tried to enlighten them with the truth. Many people who met Jesus ended up living a new life completely different from the past. For example, Matthew, a tax collector, became Jesus' disciple. Mary Magdalene, misunderstood by society as a sinner, turned into a woman whose body and soul were whole and who loved and followed Jesus the most. Through Jesus' blamelessness, many people who had been living without hope in the abyss of darkness and despair saw the bright light of salvation and gained living hope. Despite him treating the souls with only goodness and love, many still hated and opposed Jesus. They included the high priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees. When their wickedness was revealed through Jesus, the true light, they couldn't stand it and did more evil. They tried to find ways to capture and kill Jesus and persecuted the people who believed in Jesus. It's like a smoldering wick that produces black smoke, harmful to its surroundings as the fire is weak and unable to completely burn the oil. However, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus, even though souls with black smoke, He didn't put them out. When people who were being extinguished like smoldering wick because of their wickedness, did evil and harmed Jesus, He never cursed them nor wanted them to be destroyed. As you hear the message, He is compared, Job cannot be compared to Jesus. Job was actually had a good faith, but as his friends cursed him and admonished him and distressed him and disregarded him, Job also began to speak cursing words. As you have seen, he disputed with them, hated them, but our Jesus cannot be even compared to Job. He had such goodness which cannot be. You have to think about yourself as well and your past and reflect on your past life. You should not say, I'm not doing that right now. Because it's not that there is always someone who curses at us. But anyway, in the face of such difficulties, in face of such troubles, even when you see an evil person, you have to embrace them and our Jesus didn't reject the evil people and didn't curse them. Jesus solely taught through words so that these people could repent and turn away from sins. When He had to avoid, Jesus avoided. We need wisdom. Jesus knew that Judas Iscariot was of mind to betray and sell Him, but He didn't abandon him until the end. Judas was embraced like the other disciples. This was the heart of Jesus that wouldn't extinguish a smoldering wick. John chapter 13 verse 1 tells us, Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come and that He would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. If Jesus had directly pointed out Judas's evil and rebuked him, he might have become more evil. Because Jesus treated Judas kindly, he was able to stay with Jesus until the end. The Lord waited until the right time. He tried to enlighten Judas and treated him with goodness so that he might turn away anyhow. Though this doesn't mean that Jesus pretended not to know about Judas Iscariot's sin, so that he would have an awakening, Jesus expressed His sorrow in Matthew chapter 26, verse 24. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of Him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. In the end, Jesus was sold by Judas, suffered on the cross, and died. It was ultimately the way to fulfilling the providence to save humanity who was destined for death due to sins. In reality, people in this world are like a better reed or a smoldering wick. Once and for all, Jesus opened the way through His complete sacrifice so that everyone could see the light of salvation, reach eternal life, and live a blessed life. For the sake of God's great will and sacred providence, Jesus endured all the suffering with goodness and love. Dear brothers and sisters, may you imitate Jesus' blameless heart and not break a better reed or put out a smoldering wick. If there's a person who you think cannot be saved from a physically If there's a person who you think can't be saved from a fleshly perspective, I hope that you still won't give up and do everything to lead him to salvation. If there's someone who does evil despite you doing good, I hope that you will pity his spirit and not put out the weak, even though you hate and detest the evil itself. Even in faith, there are souls like better weeds and smoldering wicks. Romans chapter 14 verse 1 says, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions." These are the souls with weak faith who stumble in trials and tribulations and don't have the spiritual strength to come to judge on their own. These are people who make it difficult for other believers due to their wickedness, which hasn't been cast off yet. Also, these are people who commit evil and leave the church and later find out that they were wrong, but they feel embarrassed and ashamed to return. I hope that you will visit these souls and stretch out your hands to them. These are also people who were the first in faith, but now they are the last in a spiritual sense. Some people who've come later may find themselves in the lead spiritually. They received more love and higher positions, while those who came first become the last. So those who came first but are left behind can struggle to receive love and recognition. Sometimes, because they are upset, they commit evil or become jealous of others and gossip about them. These are like a smoldering wick that emits black smoke. If you are truly ahead spiritually, you need to understand and embrace the instinctive feelings of those less ahead. You have to understand their heart. You shouldn't think, he can just cast off evil and then he shouldn't feel that way. You have to understand his heart. And you have to understand why she or he feels that way, why he or she feels upset. And with that understanding, you have to embrace them. Then you wouldn't reject them. You would try. This is embracing and harboring the souls. Let's say there's an evil person and you hang out with him and just listen to his evil words and just this is not hovering. Hovering means, embracing means changing that person. You have to try to change that person and you have to remind him that what he is saying or thinking is judgment. Even though the other person is slow to change, if you say with good words and kind words, the other person may understand that he had been judging, then you are playing your role. Even after that, even though he repeatedly feels upset and if you don't thinking that they haven't come in the spirit due to their evil, then you can also cannot be said to be a person of spirit. Also, a blameless heart does not try to defeat others by telling right from wrong. What good would be there if we discern between right and wrong, exposing other people's mistakes? Rather, we would end up putting out a smoldering wick. It's important to try and save them instead of trampling on and destroying them. A blameless heart melts and moves the hearts of people who commit evil by treating them with truthfulness and love. We are to have a clean heart filled with goodness and love, which always exude naturally. In doing so, we can radiate the rich fragrance of Christ. Only then can we be called blameless. Dear brothers and sisters, verse 21 of today's passage writes, "And in his name the Gentiles will hope, the name of our blameless Lord Jesus has been praised by all who believe to this day. It is a precious name that glorifies God. If we wholly make bread of this message and be recognized as blameless before God, we can be given this honor as well. May you emanate a strong fragrance of Christ everywhere and guide many dying souls who are like better reed and a smoldering wick to the path of salvation and blessing. Then, what's said in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 19 can happen, that He will set you high above all nations, which He has made for praise, fame, and honor, and then you shall be a consecrated people to the Lord your God, as He has spoken. The blameless will have praise, fame, and honor, be set high above all nations which He has made, and be labeled as a holy citizen of New Jerusalem. I pray in the name of the Lord that we all imitate the Lord's blamelessness and share in the glory.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skin fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.